Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shabbat scores! Thomas Shabbat gets it through, and Ottawa has struck first in Game 5.
Gostisbehere with it once again. To the far circle. Stop!
To the net, rebound, they score! Matthias Janmark punches in the rebound.
McKay plays it behind the net, out in front, score! It's over! Howden off the one-touch feed! Vegas wins it in overtime!
Late game needed extra time. That was bad news for Marc-Andre Fleury and the Wild on a night when Vegas takes over the lead in the series. The Oilers do likewise. Ottawa stays alive and the Canes advance. Welcome in. It's Sabres Live with Marty. I'm Brian. What piece of machinery was in your, last 24 hours that we haven't discussed?
I haven't really touched much machinery yesterday. I was trying to stay away from all of the heavy equipment that can be used. And I focus more on preparing for last night just because I was excited for last night's action. I mean, the Toronto-Ottawa series is very dramatic now in the sense that, I mean, the Toronto storyline is kind of reappearing again. And I know they're up 3-2 in the series, but it's getting a little dicier. And there was the Edmonton-LA series late that I was really, really looking forward to see that match. And it didn't disappoint. The Oilers were all over them. But you know
it
what?
It did disappoint, actually, because there was only one team playing.
Yeah, well,
it was a terrible game, and the Kings should be embarrassed, my opinion.
It didn't disappoint because I said yesterday when I was doing some TSN work that I said that the Edmonton Oilers should look at how they finished game 4 in the third period in overtime. And they basically they took chances. They didn't just play like careful or they just went for it. And it worked for them. And they went for it yesterday in LA, and it worked for them too. And that was from the start of the game. At one point, the shots were, 14-1, I think, for the Edmonton Oilers in the first period. Like, it was 12-1 and 14-2, 14, 15 minutes into the game. That's what the Oilers needed to do. Now, yesterday's game between the Oilers and the Kings made me change my stance on something NHL playoff worthy, Duffer. I've been a big, big fan of you play inside your division, the brackets and all of that. And now I'm like, maybe we got to go back to 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, just because this will be 4 years in a row that the Kings are going to lose to the Oilers. And I'm like, okay, we're going to get tired of this, and it could happen again next year or whatever. I think maybe you got to go to 1-8-2-7-3-6-4-5 to have a little bit more diversity in your playoffs. But I feel bad for LA in a sense that they're going to get beat by Edmonton again this year in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know how to react to that other than like,
are you a 1-8 guy or are you a...
Obviously. Yeah, anybody who lived here cheering for the Sabres watching the 80s knows that it was a joke. Like, this, but the Sabres were top five in the NHL and they couldn't get out of their division because Montreal and Boston were in the top three in the NHL. And it was like, oh, great. Here we go again. Like, anyway.
Yeah, but and yes, I get what you're saying ridiculous. Because of the experience of being a Sabres fan for these years. I was a Quebec
pick
fan.
Any team that was on the wrong side of it when their division is
the Winnipeg
elite.
Jets.
The Adams division was elite, and Buffalo was incredible, and they couldn't get past. And this is slightly different, but it never made any sense to me to go back to this format. And I loathe might be too strong of a word, but yeah, let's go with that today. I do not like this playoff format, and it has nothing to do with the Kings about to bow out yet again. The reason they're bowing out is Edmonton knew after losing game one, not that they didn't know from the previous 3 years, that once they find their way, they will be able, and it maybe took a little longer to find their way than they would have liked. But from the third period on, until they took the lead, the third period in game four to 7 minutes into game five, the Edmonton Oilers outshot the LA Kings 72-27.
Yeah.
Where were the Kings? Any of them? Where is the almighty Drew Doughty in all of this? Oh my goodness. He does not look particularly good.
Nah, they're playing too much. They're playing too much. They're playing their top 4D too much. And because and now they're running out of fuel. They're running out of fuel in games.
Except for Kemper.
Five.
Kemper's got all the fuel, and he's literally being left on an island. It's really hard to watch.
So it's hard to watch, and I think there's a big question mark in my opinion. If the Kings are to lose to the Edmonton Oilers, if the Los Angeles Kings would become what the eighth team that would be looking for a coach this year, just because I feel like
they just had one of the best regular seasons in franchise history.
They're still going to stub their toe. There's a lot of good coaching candidates out there. Like, they could be a team that is going to end Jim Hiller with what happened in the playoffs. They're up 2-0. They are in game four. He has in game three, the terrible challenge, right? In game four, the team just let go of a 3-1 lead after two periods to lose an OT. There's enough there for me to think that Rob Blake and Luc Robitaille would be looking at this and say, there's better candidates out there. There's like, look at what St. Louis did this year. They're like, we want Jim Montgomery. He's better than what we have. Like, I think the Kings could be a team if they lose to the Oilers to throw their hats in into the new coaching, carousel
so
this summer.
Who? Laviolette or Tockett? Those would be the only two that would stand out, my opinion.
I think there's been a lot.
And Tockett is a long ways from having the success level of Laviolette.
There's a lot of chatter about Joel Quenneville, right? He interviewed in Anaheim.
Yeah, but Anaheim's going to get him first, right?
Well, if you're Joel Quenneville, you may want to wait a little bit. And Anaheim's a great, great team. Like, Anaheim is a good team to go to if you're a coach. I feel like, especially if you want to get back into it. Like, they got talent, they're young, they're fun, and you're a little insulated in Anaheim from being in the big markets and all of that. I think that that would be a good spot for Joel Quenneville to come back in the league. But Mike Sullivan doesn't want to do a rebuild, okay? So
no,
Mike
Sullivan's not going west. Jim Rutherford said that in his press conference yesterday. Yes. He said,
Mike
I talked
Sullivan
to Sullivan
is gonna
yesterday.
Take,
he is a family guy. He's staying in the East.
Yeah, so. Mike Sullivan's taking the Rangers job. In my opinion, that's the fit. Like, the Rangers job is better than Boston. It's better, like, out east in that area, go to New York. You've been there before. You'll fit right in. So now Rick Tockett has to look at Philly, Boston. Oh, LA. LA is good. LA has Anze Kopitar. LA has, You know,
you can't say that anymore. I'm the biggest Anze Kopitar fan in the world, but he's 38 next year. Like,
yeah, but I mean, they're better. They're better than Boston, in my opinion. They're better than Philly. That may be more the spot for a Rick Tocchet to go to, because it's a team that, and a lot of people are saying Rick Tocchet, like, I mean, a lot of the attractive places are out east. Mm-hmm. He's a West guy. He was in Arizona. He was in Vancouver. He may want to stay out West. So maybe that's a better fit. Maybe LA's got to think, hey, if we really like Rick Tocchet, maybe if we lose, we make the change.
Well, you're putting a clock on it now, right? I mean, if you're Anaheim and you're thinking the way you're thinking, Marty, like, you're like, if LA flames out here, they might go after the coach that we want. So, like, what does Anaheim do in the short term?
Anaheim's,
do they hasten the process? Do they throw an extra half mil on the annual basis to this deal? Like, what do you think happens?
Well, they're making sure they're calling. They're calling again. Hey, try the cell phone again. Try, because we have our guy, right? But I don't know. That's why agents, that's why these guys, these coaches, they have agents. You probably are having conversation with people around seeing where that's going to lead. You probably don't wait for the LA job to open, because that's up in the air. You don't know. But if you have some doubt, you're probably just lengthening the decision-making period so that you maybe have other options on the table. That's one. Oh, and by the way, producer Jeff said there's already 8. So that would become 9 if LA, for example, was to say, hey, we're making a coaching change. You know, 9 is almost a third of the league changing their coaches if that was to happen. That's huge. And my boy, David Carl, not Dan Quinn, but David Carl apparently told the Chicago Blackhawks, no, he won't go to Chicago. So he's waiting for an opportunity. Maybe LA would be an opportunity for a guy like Dave Carl to say, hey, I'm going to LA. This is a big time. This is still a good team. Like, there could be teams like that could draw a guy out of college.
I don't think LA is the situation. If David Carl is looking for the perfect opportunity, LA is not it. Look at the age of their, like, there's, what are they going to be when Kopitar is done here? I don't know.
Well, they have Quentin Byfield. They have some good players coming through, but they are aging quickly. You're right. But they still have some good talent to rely upon. And
Jim
it's
Miller
LA.
Needs a different instrument. That's all I know.
Maybe. I mean,
meaning the harmonicas. He's got to stop relying on the harmonicas to get him a win and actually coach his way out of this.
Well, that's true. But they were up 1-0. They were up 1-0, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, they are going to do it, right?
They didn't even have time for a coffee in the time that they blew the lead. And then just, again, Kemper kept it close. Like, I'm for the sake of whatever, going hard against the Kings here. Could they easily have won this? Yeah. Could they have easily won last night? Yes, they could have. But at the end of the day, the reason I picked Edmonton, recency bias, and they do not have what Edmonton has.
Yeah, two guys.
McDavid, Dreisaitl, Bouchard. Again, I'd go back to the Doughty or anybody else on the Kings blue line. They don't have what, and I get it. Every seemingly great offensive defenseman has 26 moments within a game where you're like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The offensive studs almost always find a way to hit the score sheet when it matters most. It's incredible. You know,
so I pulled quick numbers the other day and I didn't update them from yesterday, but obviously the Oilers win 3-1 in an empty net. McDavid and or Dreisaitl factor in on one of the three goals, the empty net goal from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. But I believe it was almost 80% of all Oilers goals in the playoffs had either a McDavid or Dreisaitl attached to him, either as a goal or an assist. Like, that's the team. That's the team right now. That's, you know, they get a goal from Evander Kane. Great.
Well, Kane owns the Kings, though. Like, his numbers over the last 4 playoffs against
Edmonton. But we didn't know what he was going to be like, not having played this year and coming back in the playoffs. So now he gets involved. And he scored his second in the series. Janmark gets the goal, in the third period to make it 2-1. But But I was waiting. I'm like, oh, McDavid has been great in the game, but hasn't gotten a point. Draisaitl has been great in the game, hasn't gotten a point. Mm-hmm. Well, goalie's out. It's still a game. It's 2-1. They got an assist each on the RNH empty net goal. Yeah. And they factor in a big goal because you never know what could happen. The Oilers proved that in game 4 when they scored with the goalie out at the end of the game.
Yeah. Anyway, we probably exhausted that series more than we should have. My apologies.
I stayed up late last night watching it just because so I was entertained by it.
And
I,
can you tell I'm cranky? I told you.
I also stayed up late watching Minnesota-Vegas, which was...
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine the heartbreak Minnesota's feeling based on the fact they had the go-ahead goal late only to have a double review. The first one they survived, obviously, because it was not a kicking motion as Hartman got the goal. And then after that delay, a challenge from Vegas. It was clearly offside. It's taken off the board. They go to overtime and Brett Howden scores the winner. And Howden not at 100%, like really, 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 really sick. And yet mustered up enough strength to play last night. And illness on the other side opened the door for Fleury to come in as Gustafson came out after two periods. So Fleury ends up getting the loss. Talk about feeling sick.
I was searching. I'm like, did Gustafson get hurt? And Gustafson, the last 5 or 6 minutes of the second period, barely moved. Every time he went down, he stayed down. It almost looked like, you know, when an illness that comes in like this, I'm not saying it's like food poisoning, but it's like usually it's your stomach. It's like you're
tell
not
me
all
you
of
played
sudden,
a game with that.
Like Roberto Luongo and having to go to the bathroom and missing the overtime for a bit. Like, but as
did
a goalie,
you, did you not ever have a game like that where you were like brutally ill and just somehow sucked it up and played?
The problem, Duffer, is a player in the middle of a period can leave. Go to the bathroom.
But I'm asking you. Did
no,
you
no,
not
but I'm
have
saying like I must have had a game. I had a game where I left like 5 minutes into the third period.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't, like, I need to leave. I need to go. Like, I'm sorry, but this is not going to be pretty if I stay. But the problem with a goalie is like, okay, if Sabres are playing and Rasmus Dahlin, the stomach is like churning and it's like he leaves, he goes to the bathroom, comes back, maybe he misses 7-8 minutes of the game, 10 minutes and he's fine. Goalies are, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Number one, going to the bathroom is a little bit more complicated, and two, you can't just like leave and reappear. And it's so anyway,
okay,
I felt bad for Gustafson yesterday because he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And I thought, man, did he get hurt? I don't see where he got hurt, but he, every time he went down on the ice, he was kind of like, oh, I don't want to get up. It was terrible.
Okay, so Vegas has a chance to clinch that in 6. Meanwhile, the Canes only needed 5 to get past the Devils, who had a 3-0 lead last night. And yet, after Aho scores the power play OT winner, everybody is throwing bouquets at Markstrom. What a show. What a performance. Yay. Like, he hung in there. He gave them a chance. And it's like, yeah, but if he had shown up for the first 6 minutes of period number 2, they might not have been in this mess. Now, I get it. It's not all his fault. But I literally texted the group like, you know, Sheldon Keefe could use a save here. And boom, another goal happens. And you're just like, wow. However, most people, except for me, because I was trying to prop up the injured underdog, had Carolina advancing here. And they did in 5 games.
Well, yeah, so you texted the group about like, hey, Keefe could, because I mentioned Sheldon Keefe and his playoff woes, right, with Toronto for years.
Yep.
And
yep.
Look, no Jack Hughes, no Luke Hughes, no Brendan Dillon. Markstrom in this game early in the second, it was very average. He was fantastic in the third and overtime, though. Yep. Woo, he was really good. But here's the biggest thing. I texted Tom Mecca at 3-0, and I'm like, it's 10 minutes into the game. It's 3-0 at New Jersey. And the line on, you know, in the betting sites was a -250 for New Jersey to win it in regulation. I'm like, New Jersey is not going to let that go. Are they? Like, I could see maybe They give up a goal or two, but they're going to score a few more. And Kochetkov did not look good. And let's remember that Freddie Anderson is injured with Carolina. I'm like, oh, this could be a turning point. Nope, not so much. Carolina pushed and pushed really, really hard in the second, because it was 4-4 with still 8 minutes left to play in the second period. And the third period in overtime, they dominated. It could have been literally, it could have been me and net for Carolina. I don't think we would have, nobody would have noticed. They wouldn't have noticed a goalie change with Carolina because Kochetkov, the puck was never in his hand. And I know this went to, you know, OT, but it was never in his hand. And it went to double OT, but it was never in his hand. Like Carolina dominated the extra time.
It's funny how it's often in the hands of Aho. He is so clutch, so good.
Oh, he's so good.
He is, again, just the difference maker, and Carolina rolls on. This was actually, you know, other than the fact it didn't go six or seven, there was plenty of OT drama in the series, and it's very reminiscent of all the past series between Carolina and New Jersey. For as little as people get excited for whatever reason about that matchup, they have produced some incredible moments, and last night being one of them, with New Jersey squandering a 3-0 lead and seeing Carolina win in double OT.
Yeah, great Kaniak's cardiac Canes moments years ago with late in the games against Marty Brodeur, and that was that. Now this one is double OT, and it's a goal. What made me laugh, because after the goal by Sebastian Aho, Jacob Markstrom's reaction, he wanted to throw his stick at Svechnikov. Svechnikov and Markstrom got into it all series, right? Mm-hmm. They were in front of the net. There was some when Markstrom actually injured his own player in the series, it was when he was trying to hit Svechnikov in front of the net. And that was in game one, I believe. And he took out his own guy. Svechnikov was in the head of Markstrom so much so that after the goal, Markstrom almost boomeranged his stick at Svechnikov, decided not to do it just to break it on the net, but he got in his head big time.
So the Canes await the winner of Washington-Montreal. That series could end tonight. More on that later. Ottawa, with every passing game, you know, you can identify the new biggest goal for them. And last night, Dylan Cousins scored it because it was still very, very, very much a touch and go game in the third period until Cousins is able to capitalize on a perfect shorthanded 2-on-1 feed from Gaudette. And at that point, and maybe only for a second, the Senators might have been able to take a breath and think,
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
We can actually get out of here, and it's largely on the back of Linus Ullmark. He was exceptional.
He was exceptional, especially in the first period. Man, was he good. He was good throughout the rest of the game. Look, the Leafs, they've talked about this five-forward power play that was so hot in the first two games and first three games of the series. Now they've gone 0-for-7 in the last two games. They've given up two shorthanded goals, and they had a four-minute power play. in overtime in game four. And yep. But they didn't have Tavares. So the five forwards weren't out there, but they didn't get anything done. They didn't get anything done in this game. So there's some numbers. I know if you're paying attention on social media, the Leafs are 1-13 in the last 14 games where they've had a chance to move on to the next game, to the next round. Marner's got 5 assists in those 14
games.
That's
from 2018 on. So it's encompassing the Marner-Matthews era, Tavares specifically.
So Marner, in those 14 games, has 5 assists, 0 goals. Mm-hmm. Matthews, in those 14 games, has 4 goals, 4 assists. And Nylander, only 2 goals. Like, they needed to have a game. They haven't had that game to put him over the top. And that is
Well, Matthews hit the post right before the Cousins goal. So, I mean, it was...
They hit the post in overtime in game 4. And on the power play, boom, he hit the post. But you got
Kucherov is going through a similar drought, by the way, the last 3 years, on the heels of being all world for Tampa from 20 to 22. And his goal scoring drought is mind boggling. His production, obviously, not like what we saw through the course of the regular season. Will Tampa get it done tonight to continue their series against Florida? We'll see. Again, more on that later. But I do. I just want to, before I taint the answer, like, I sometimes run out of words, and which some people would say, well, that's not true. Anyway, in the simplest form, why did Ottawa win last night, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, the simplest form is goaltending.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's goaltending. Not that Stolarz was bad. Olmark stole a game, and that's what they needed. They needed Olmark to steal a game.
I would say, and I don't...
I have a question for you after. Go ahead.
I don't know. Put it this way. If I was trying to teach the effort level that is required in a game. And I don't know how you measure this, so this is why it doesn't just roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
I would frame the Ottawa victory and share it with any team at any age level and say, look at every situation that they somehow negated, where your eyes get wide and go, oh, this is a big opportunity for Toronto. Boom. Within a split second, there was constant extra effort, never quit. And I'm talking every single area of the ice, and that's why I don't know how to measure it. But even if a player like somehow went past his check, the stop up, the spin around with a loose one hand on the stick to just try to interrupt the play, it was interrupting every play. And I was just like, this is incredible. Incredible. This is what you need. And I get it. You can't do it every single night over the course of 82, but this is how committed you have to be to win.
They've played more desperate than Toronto, that's for sure.
I know, I hate saying it just simply like that, because I feel like it doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, maybe. But okay, perfect example. 1-0 late in the second, 2 minutes left in the second. Steven Lorenz gets in front of Linus Ullmark. He has the wide open net.
Unbelievable.
Not only do you have Matt and Paolo come back, but David Perron. You have two guys come back.
At the other end, that is my favorite goal ever in Stanley Cup playoff history.
Yeah. Because he came back and then he goes the other way. But that was, even if he doesn't score, that saved the goal. Now all of a sudden you don't go into the third period 1-1. You're in the lead 1-0. That sums up the effort you're talking about. I have a question for you, Duffer. So
real quick, because we have Nick Weiss in the green room.
Mike Rupp made this comment the other night when Tom Wilson scored an empty net goal when they were already up. They already scored an empty net goal. They were up 4-2, and Montreal still pulled the goalie, and Wilson scored. He said on NHL Network, he said, why do you pull your goalie to give, like, the game was over, it's 4-2. And now you give Tom Wilson a chance to score an empty net goal and stick it to you, right? And so last night, Ottawa, same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 3-0. Stützle already scored an empty net goal. Mm-hmm. Toronto pulls the goalie again. Mm-hmm. And who scores the last empty net goal? Brady Tkachuk. Like, I'm never in that train of thought of think. I'm like, pull your goalie, there's always a chance. But he made me think that okay, the game's over. Why are you going to give the other team in a playoff series the chance to feel good about yourself even more? Tom Wilson and Brady Tkachuk proved that in back-to-back nights.
Well, you should talk to my mom off air because she would be in your camp. She hates the empty net, you know, the giving up multiple empty netters. But I could care less. I can assure you that Brady Tkachuk was in a good place long before he scored the second empty netter. So I don't think it's going to affect his mindset going into game six.
It affects mine. It affects mine.
It clearly does. Yes. The Bandits affect my mindset, quite honestly. I ride, you know, the orange wave and can't wait to do it again on Friday in Banditland. But beyond what's happening at KeyBank Center with the Bandits, directly across the street, Lecom Harbor Center, and we are less than a month away now. This is super exciting. Can't wait to take in the World Para Ice Hockey Championships. That is May 24th to 31st at Lecom Harbor Center. Best sled hockey players in the world come together right here in Buffalo for the title. You can visit sabres.com/world to purchase your tickets. U.S., Canada, of course, the front runners, the favorites, call it what you will. Norway, Slovakia, Czechia, China, Republic of Korea, and Germany rounding out this 8-team tournament. Can't wait to see you at Lecom Harbor Center, May 24th to 31st. Bandits talk when we come back on Sabres Live.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.